Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Jack Ham called me this morning about the 75th anniversary tee. I will relay the comments to you in a moment. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Stores laid out beautifully. Easy, plenty of help, free parking, soft drinks, water, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar second to none. It's unbelievable. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Tell them that we told you to stock up for the weekend. They said, I'm here because they told me to stock up for the weekend. I'm here. And I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Jack calls me this morning. He says, I got your note on that 75th anniversary thing. I said, yeah. He said, is there anything we can do to move me up? He's third team. I
said, what do I need to do, coach? What do I need to do to get off the third team?
I said, I was on a national show yesterday when they asked me about it. And I said, I told them, I said, name one of those guys that can play the pass. They said, you got my back. You got my back. I said, it's what I do. It's what I do. I want to bring up an interesting topic that, surprising, is not on the Kevin rundown. This is where you're going to get scared, I can tell. He's scared now. And I'm going to ask this question to Kevin. You often complain. High school football starts 2 weeks from tonight. Classifications A, double A, triple A, and I don't think there are any quad A schools in the area, right?
I think Williamsport's still quad A.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But that, yeah. Yeah, they're still quad A. You often complain about the Catholic schools.
No. That's not fair. It's not Catholic schools. Private schools.
You often complain about the Catholic schools, of which my understanding is Pope Francis, who's coming to this country, will be meeting with you.
Yes, we are discussing. I did get some time to discuss the private school situation with
the pontiff. So here's a proposal I came up with, and okay. I want to know what you think about this. Should charter schools, and as you would put them, private schools.
Thank you.
Instead of having their own classification, which gets sloppy and messy, be forced to play one classification up.
I'd have to see how that's laid out, but that could work.
In other words, I'm a double A school in size, but because I'm a private school and I can draw from anywhere, I have to play triple A. I'm a charter school, which means I'm A in size.
Right.
I have to play double A.
I think I would rather see them, and I agree with you. I think it creates its own problems, but I would rather see a split off division of private schools.
But how? How do you do that?
Well, I think this is where you have to look at the logistics and see, okay, how many private schools do we have? How many of them, and where would they fit in the current A, double A, triple A, quad A setup? And then take that and say, okay, how many schools do we have, and do we have enough to create a private school division with A, double A, triple A, and quad A. I don't know that's possible, but I would like to see that looked at least and find out if the numbers make sense. If not, I think you have to have them play a division higher than what they would automatically be put in if they were a public school. Is that what you're proposing? Yeah.
I'm saying if you're a double A size private school, you should be forced to play triple A because you can draw from a bigger area.
And I think that's a little bit, I think that's a step in the right direction. If my idea does not work feasibly, I think that would be a very good second choice to look into. Because the ultimate problem here is you have schools that are a size of a double A or triple A school, but can draw from an enormous area, including out of state, which absolutely makes no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I would stipulate in whatever happens is no player, and I'm going to use New Jersey as an example, but you could probably make the same case for Ohio or West Virginia or any border state. But
this is, by the way, to the audience, this is where the bitterness of being denied playoff money comes in. Just says this is a public service message from this station and the Ad Council.
You can't have a player with an address that is not Pennsylvania in the Pennsylvania Interscholastic Athletic Association.
A kid from Voorhees, New Jersey, cost me money.
You just can't. You can't. I mean, right now, a private school can't, or a public school for that matter, can't have a kid who lives in Selins Grove play in Lewisburg unless he moves to Lewisburg. How in the world can you have a kid that lives in New Jersey play in Pennsylvania that lives in New Jersey?
That would be sacrilege for a kid in Selins Grove to play for Lewisburg.
I just picked two towns.
Sacrilege.
Or I could pick Mark Lawrence's favorite town, Berwick. It doesn't make any sense to me why that would be possible. Now, the other thing you could do is create geographic zones for these schools. If it is a double A school, for example, create a geographic zone that says, and I think that's logistically impossible, but that you can only pull players from this zone.
Okay.
But I don't think that's the right way to do it either. I mean, if you have a student that wants to come to your private school, for instance, that lives in, I'm going to pick Lewisburg again, and wants to travel to, we'll say, Lourdes to go to school, but because that would not be in the normal draw area of that size school, he or she couldn't play athletics, that's not right either. But I'm willing to look at your idea and see if that one would be a resolution to the problem.
No, I would say, for example, let's take a charter school that is single A. I think most charter schools would be single A, don't you think?
Single or double A for the most part.
They'd have to play a double A schedule and compete for the double A championship. Because they can draw from a wider spectrum. As for drawing a player from New Jersey to play, for example, at Allentown Central Catholic, all right, while I do understand what you're saying, you are still a member of the school. You can't deny an opportunity to a member of the school based on state line. So you can't do that. You're in the school.
Oh, I totally understand what you're saying.
Which means you're part of the student body. You're part of the student body. And on a college level, it's a totally different deal. But, for example, Erica Walsh, they start tonight against Hofstra. Well, the key player for Penn State this year is Rocky Rodriguez from Costa Rica. appears to be beyond state lines.
But that's a whole different animal now. It's college,
but this is a high school, and they pay their way in, and they're part of the student body. You can't deny them the opportunity to play, because the one thing would happen, I can tell you right now, if they took it to court, you'd lose. And why bother going to court over something like that?
Well, I would agree with that. I think that would be a waste of the PIAA's money.
Because the argument would be they're part of the student body. You're going to deny them the opportunity the other members of the student body has.
But how do you balance the scale? How do you balance the scale with a public school who can't do that?
Because now I take them and I move them from being a AA size school and force them to play AAA scheduling for the AAA championship. Because AAA schools have a population base to draw from that allow them to be AAA schools.
Right.
Okay?
Well,
this would be a double A population based school that has a bigger drawing area. Thus, I would make them bump up and play AAA.
And for those that don't know, the designation is counted by the student body, male and female members of the student body for those sports.
Right. And so that's what I would do. The only time you would hit a roadblock would be Quad A, but Quad A schools can handle themselves.
I really don't think it's an issue at Quad A. I think it's an issue at single and double, and it's becoming an issue at Triple A.
And I think if you are a Triple A private school, you have to play a Quad A schedule.
One of the other arguments you'll hear a lot of people make, and I don't know if I agree with this or if I don't agree with this, because it's one of those, I'm kind of on the fence on this one. But the argument is programs that are private schools tend to have more financial opportunities for their programs than do those that are public school programs.
Yeah, but they have private fundraising, Kevin.
That's exactly where I sit on the fence on it. That's absolutely why I'm on the fence on that comment.
I have absolutely no objection to that at all. If people want to invest their money in that, let them invest in it. That's part of being in a private school.
And that does all not right. stop any public school from using a booster club to raise money to be able to all do right. things. I agree with you on that.
I mean, it does, you know, or someone making a donation to put a new field turf field in at Shikellamy. The Kevin Herr Memorial Turf.
That's not Memorial. I don't know if I'd want the turf named after me and people stepping on me all the time.
I'm not going to say it. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
066.
The winning trolley is at Sunbury Motors Kia.
0% financing for 66 months.
Sunbury Motors Kia has the winning play with 0% APR financing for 66 months. Why pay interest when you can drive away in any new Kia with 0% financing? Choose from 2015 Kia Fortes, Optima, Souls, Cadenzas, Sedonas, Sportages, and 2016 Serenos. Sunbury Motors Kia has every color and every option available. Plus, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Ask yourself, why pay interest on a new vehicle? Come to Sunbury Motors Kia now and pay 0% APR for 66 months. Owning a brand new Kia is more affordable than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
066.
Financing to well-qualified customers through KMF. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. High school football season starts 2 weeks from tonight. Many scrimmages are tomorrow. Then the next set of scrimmages, most of them are next Friday night. So that's what's coming up. We're finally at that time of the year where that's happening. But 2 weeks from tonight, the season starts. And 2 weeks from tomorrow, the Penn State football season starts. Today is the last two-a-day. They went this morning. Tonight on BTN Live, James Franklin will be on.
He will be on, definitely?
Yes, he'll definitely be on. I actually was walking by when they were doing the interview. Unlike Jim Harbaugh. He decided to show up. And he'll be on tonight. They were at the morning practice. They were also at last night's practice, too, for a period of time. So Howard Griffith, Jerry DiNardo, Tom Dienhardt had a long talk with both Tom. I didn't talk much with Jerry this time. I talked a lot last night with Howard, and I talked a lot today with Tom Dienhardt and Dave Revson. And they'll do the show tonight. And I told them what I'm telling you right now. This is the best camp I've seen Penn State have since 2008. Now, the 2008 team had a little different dynamic to it. It was a little bit older, more mature, certainly much better in the offensive line. There's no question about that. But in terms of the overall tone, tenor of the camp, athleticism in the camp, this is the best I've seen a camp look since 2008. And they've had a really good one to this point. Now, tomorrow they have a scrimmage. And then they're going to have a situational scrimmage on Tuesday. And then it's the big decision. It's decision time. And that decision time, I think, happens Wednesday. They're going to then make the decision as to who is on scout team. And it doesn't mean you can't rise from scout team to work with the game day team. But it is going to be...
It'd be an uphill fight.
Yeah, it's an uphill fight, no question about it. You know, so this is the big decision time right here.
I've always wondered, with high school scrimmages, you can scrimmage a team that you're not playing on your regular schedule, and usually it's a team that is of a different classification or maybe out of a different district, so there's no chance of seeing them in the postseason. Was there ever a time in college football where you could set up a play scrimmage, a scrimmage against another team?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you're allowed to do that. It used to be at a lot more, for example, spring practices, but and then they cut that back to 20, and then they cut them back to 15. I don't think you've ever been able to scrimmage in the preseason against someone else. The bottom line is, you are actually allowed to scrimmage. I should point that out. You are allowed to scrimmage. If Penn State wanted to go out and scrimmage TCU tomorrow, they could. But the schedule would have on it only 11 games, not 12.
It would cost you a game. Right.
It counts as a game on the schedule. It would not count as a game on your win-loss, but it would count as one of your 12 games. So you can scrimmage somebody, but then you take away a regular season game when you do that.
I know the Ivy's league is really unique in starting. It's usually like 2 weeks later than everybody else. They play a smaller schedule than most teams.
Yeah, they do. So that's how close they are. So this is the next. What's this, Friday? The next 4 days are going to be critical to shaping what you see on the field in the opening weeks of the season. Scrimmage tomorrow, it's going to be crisp, too. It's going to be a crisp scrimmage. He's going to make a move tomorrow. I already know that. And then they're only doing a walkthrough Sunday, I think, and then Monday's off because that's the first day of classes. Then a situational scrimmage on Tuesday, and then they're going to get to Wednesday, and on Wednesday, that's decision day. That's when they reveal. I mean, those are the tough meetings where, look, a kid's been working hard, thinks he's got a chance, the whole deal, I understand that. That's not easy to have that conversation. Now, for a young player, they have to realize And it's easy for me, who's, you know, later in life, to look at them and say, hey, this will benefit you. You still got four more years remaining on your clock and the whole thing. But there's still that initial crushing disappointment, because most of them have been very highly thought of and have always been considered to be either starters or right on the verge of starting their entire life. Their entire life. So that's what makes it hard.
There's also one very unique difference in the scrimmages between high school scrimmages and college scrimmages. Not only the fact that you're not playing somebody from out of town, you're scrimmaging yourself. One of the other differences is there's no filming, where in high school, everybody goes to every scrimmage and films. You'll see people right. with cameras all over creation at a scrimmage because they're playing this team or the both teams. That doesn't happen in college. How's the film trade work in college? How's the film setup work in college?
Good luck in the opener.
That's what I always thought was interesting, is that opening game.
Well, I mean, there's no film trade on practice of the opener at all. Everything you have is from what they did last year.
Right.
Simple as that.
And if they got a new coaching staff, Steve, that makes it really tough.
Now you're looking at tape of the team they used to be with. Trying to do a little guessing game. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. High school football season is upon us. 2 weeks to go. First scrimmage is, for the most part, tomorrow. Then most of the second ones will be next Friday. Because, look, everyone wants to get, obviously, into that Friday-to-Friday routine. So, that's where we are. This is obviously the fun time of the year. We're getting there. I mentioned the Penn State football part and, really got you into that mode as to where they are. The next 4 days are going to be big days. And this has been a really good camp. Really good camp. And certain things I was looking for. Now, look, everybody's looking to see how much improvement is made on the offensive line. And, and they're definitely better. There's no question to me that they're better. Now, how far up the road of better? Well, we're all going to have to find out watching the games. I mean, they're better, but how far up the road are they to better? And one of the keys will be at that left tackle spot, looking at a guy like Paris Palmer, for example. I mean, he's going to be critical to what they do in this. That is your left tackle. That is the backside. But there's some certain things that you can do with the speed and quickness that they have on the edge. The athleticism on this team is dramatically different. As Dwight Gall talked about last night on the show, that when they got there 18 months ago, there's one guy that could really get under 4.45 and run that number. They got 13 guys now that can do that. And that's obviously the work that Dwight does with them. But for the most part, it's just the recruiting part has brought in that kind of speed. And that's huge, brought in that kind of speed into the program. And you need to have that across the board. When you look at Deshaun Hamilton, you got Chris Godwin, you got Saeed Blacknell, you have DeAndre Tompkins, Juwan Johnson, Irvin Charles, Brandon Polk. A lot of speed in that group. You know, Gesicki, you know, former wideout, now playing tight end, can move. Can absolutely move. And that's huge. You know, not only Lynch, but now you've got Saquon Barkley and Nick Scott. Both can move. Mark Allen's not bad either. Can all move. Grant Haley, a corner, can move. John Reed can move. Christian Campbell can move. Marcus Allen, for a big man, moves really well. Kabinda at linebacker can move. And that's the big part to this. They have guys in this grouping now that can flat out move. And that makes a big difference. It changes so much when you can get so much speed on the table. I was talking today with Dave Revson. I said, look, we're really at the last bastion of sanctions with the program. I said, there's still some effect. This is number one. I said, instead of 85 scholarship guys, you've got 78, 79 in camp, recruited scholarship guys. So you're not quite there. So that's small but big at the same time. The next part is that because you've had to make up numbers so quickly, you don't yet have a positional balance on recruiting because you're trying to make up numbers as much as you can. And over the next couple of years, they'll start to achieve a positional balance. I'll give you an example. Every coach has their own idea of what they want. James Franklin, as one example, would like to carry five scholarship quarterbacks. Well, he's got three in this camp. That's just an example numerically at one position. Like I said, every coach wants their own positional balance. And number three, when Joe Julius came out to kick, and today he made his kicks today. When he came out to kick, Dave asked me a little bit about him. I was talking about him, but I said, look, this is the last part of the sanctions that we can talk about. I said, and that is the fact that Sam Ficken should be the kicker this year. And Dave looked at me and says, he should be. I said, yeah. I said, in 2012, when the sanction came down to allow everyone to transfer without having to sit out, Anthony Farrah, for personal reasons, but Anthony Farrah was one of the guys that took that opportunity and went to Texas. So they were redshirting Sam Ficken that year. And they then could not redshirt Sam Ficken, and he had to end up playing. He played 4 years instead of sitting out one. I said, so instead of having him be your kicker this year, because that under a normal clock, this would be his fifth year of eligibility, he actually used up all of his eligibility in 4 years. So that's where that's still in effect and still has an effect on what's going on with the program. And, of course, he understood that right away, what I was talking about. And that's where they still are. Yet, when you look at the overall tenor of camp, you have more depth. So behind an Austin Johnson and an Anthony Zelli, you got Terrell Barney and Parker Cothran. The freshman linemen, Carter, Windsor, are actually very, very good. Now, neither one is going to have to play this year, but they're both very good. Like what they did there. Then you go to the end spots. Torrence Brown's just a redshirt freshman. Sickles has a couple of years of eligibility still remaining. Sickles, he's got three left. Evan Schwann. They have young players there that I think have a chance to have really good years. And then Kabinda's only into his sophomore year at linebacker. Reeder's a redshirt freshman. And, that's impressive to see. Then you got Manny Bowen, who's a true freshman. Jake Cooper's a true freshman. So there's more and more players, and there's a common theme with all of them. They can all run. And that makes a huge difference. They all can run. And that's what you're seeing now with what Urban Meyer has done at Ohio State and what James Franklin's doing at Penn State. They're going to force the rest of the Big Ten to change up here. They're going to force the rest of the Big Ten to change as to what they do. Whether they can catch up and do it or not remains to be seen. And I think the most pressure is going to be on Michigan and a lot of pressure on Michigan State. Michigan State at least has a head start. They're already really, really good. Michigan, this is what Michigan has. Michigan has an experienced offensive line. Very, very good. They're really mixed at quarterback. It's either Rudock or Morris. It's one of the two. Green is a good running back, not a great running back, but they have no wide receivers. There's no wideouts in this current group. None. They are not that hard of a team to defend because of the lack of speed at wide receiver. And they have a big issue there. Jim Harbaugh has had great publicity and bad publicity. Part of the bad publicity comes of his own making. And yesterday was part of it. He's the first coach ever to tell BTN no when it comes to doing an interview. There are 24 hours in a day. He couldn't spare 7 minutes. And they were telling me, for example, out there today, obviously, you know, Jack and I go out there a lot. I'm trying to think who else was out there today. It's the Sports Information Group who was out there today on a couple of pro scouts. And, of course, they'll play music at designated times when James Franklin wants to replicate crowd noise. They play music. Bill O'Brien played music all the time. Joe actually played, when Joe wanted crowd noise, Joe played, had them play tapes of crowd noise. Bill O'Brien played the music the entire practice. James Franklin only plays the music when he wants to replicate the crowd. So the vast majority of time, it's not being played. Michigan. You know, the guys were telling me nobody was there. Nobody was there except who was absolutely essential to the practice, and no music was played. It's a different approach. But he's done a couple things that are just really, I don't know. In a lot of ways, it seems like he's his own worst enemy. I mean, the part about that yesterday, BTN is not going in there to do an expose on you being bad. And they're just going in there to showcase your team and get it out to the public. Okay. And he told them no. It's his choice. It's his program. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks.
Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
0-66.
The winning play is at Sunbury Motors Kia.
0% financing for 66 months.
Sunbury Motors Kia has the winning play with 0% APR financing for 66 months. Why pay interest when you can drive away in any new Kia with 0% financing? Choose from 2015 Kia Fortes, Optimas, Souls, Cadenzas, Sedonas, Sportages, and 2016 Serenos. Sunbury Motors Kia has every color and every option available. Plus, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Ask yourself, why pay interest on a new vehicle? Come to Sunbury Motors Kia now and pay 0% APR for 66 months. Owning a brand new Kia is more affordable than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
0-66.
Financing to well-qualified customers through KMF. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Point out, though, at the Big Ten Media Day, everyone tells me Jim Harbaugh was terrific there. Now, whether, you know, but the other things he's done, the Colin Cowherd interview, like, he wasn't going to get questions from Dave Revson, for example, about, you know, come on. I mean, I'm trying to give you a break here. Recruit me. I mean, that's not Dave's style. Like, Dave was actually trying to, between Dave Howe and Jerry, they were trying to just talk about what Michigan has. But, oh well, he elected not to. James Franklin, no issue. Practice was done, and he was right there ready to go. I know you're surprised by that. But he was ready to go. Did the interview right after practice. So, and you'll get a chance to see that BTN Live coming up tonight. Todd Tilford wouldn't blow off an interview with BTN, tell you that.
No. I don't think we've missed an interview, actually.
All credit to him for that.
Probably a good idea, yeah.
I mean, making you angry?
That's not easy to do.
Yeah.
I'm a very easygoing guy.
Okay. All right. We had a little problem with our interviews today. We apologize for that. We were supposed to have on Tony DeFazio and also Charlie Wilmoth. We're going to try and get them on Monday. All right. Make up for it and get them on there. Charlie, I know in the pre-interview with him, a lot of things you want to talk about, especially with the Utley trade and then who, you know, about clearing waivers. And it's not as extensive, he told me, as people think about blocking and who's available and who's not. It's one thing you are not required to release who's cleared waivers or not. You don't have to do that. So, I mean, that's what makes it a little more difficult. Anytime you hear, well, a guy's cleared waivers, because somebody eventually told them, they don't have to put it out on the list that they've cleared. And, Charlie, we'll get into that more. We'll talk about that on Monday. Steelers have their third preseason game coming up. And
you don't think they're going to play that like a normal third preseason game, though?
Well, you know what? Everybody does their own thing. The Jets, for example, Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to play half the game tonight. That may be because Geno Smith is out, but Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to play half the game for the Jets. The Steelers, I don't think, are up to that half-game level yet. I don't think they're going to do that till the fourth game.
Well, let's say you're Mike Tomlin. Not knowing what you know, if you're Mike Tomlin, how do you play this game? Do you play your starters or your potential starters for an entire quarter? Do you play them for a half? Or do you do like they have been doing, like they did the last game, and play them for like a series?
No, I would have to. I got to play them now at least a quarter. Now the next game, then I have to play them for a half. And I think that's how I've got to handle it at this point. I think the handling playing times, the one part is better when you have the Hall of Fame game, and one part is worse. The better is who actually gives you one additional review of the younger players on your team, because they'll play that. A lot of them, of course, played in that Hall of Fame game. The part that's difficult is then balancing out the rest of the schedule so that you stay on schedule to get yourself into the regular season. So you get the one additional look, but at the same time, if you have the extra game, then you have to really balance out where you are. So the Steelers have that coming. And of course, the Eagles, Sam Bradford's finally going to play. That's the big story there. You asked me earlier about what's the bigger story, Tebow or Manziel. And I said, well, if you're in Philadelphia, it's always going to be Tebow, because no matter what, let's take the name out of it. I think every real, big-time fan of their team knows almost everything about the team. For example, when Josh Harris played in the playoff game last year, Steeler fans knew all about Josh Harris, right?
I would think,
The rest of the country didn't. They had to really be introduced to him in the game. And of the real fans know. Steeler fans know all about Steeler fans know all about Landry Jones. The rest of the country really doesn't. So that's, that's where it comes to Tebow. Now, Manziel's different. Manziel's actually competing to be one of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the league. And took a step in the direction where he's going to put some heat on Josh McCown. Now, that's a story. Because if you're one of the guys, one of the 32 guys, just like a lot of people know, it may be Jacksonville, but people know who Blake Bortles is. So if you are one of the 32 starting quarterbacks, that's big. That's why I think the Manziel story, the Tebow story, is really important to Eagle fans. The Manziel story has more national punch to it. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's, Hope you have a great weekend. Get yourself out to a high school scrimmage somewhere.
I think I will.
And when the scrimmage is over with, don't rip your kid.
I'd not like to not comment on that part. Just kidding.